All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of It's Not About You. Hailing from New York and Sumner, Washington. My name is Jamal Harrington, one of the hosts here, and my lovely co-host, Marianne Riley, on the scene. And boy, it's been a week. I know we took off last week, but now we're back. Some of us got sick with the virus. Some of us was nauseous from something else. So we had to take a health break.
Yeah, you know, still fighting. This virus that's going around. So I can tell you, the thing about it that's really brutal is that, like, at first, when it hit me last week, it just kind of sucked my energy. I did another cut video last week, and I was really just drained. Low energy the whole time, not feeling it. And then I got home, and middle of the night, I started, like, just, I had to go worship the porcelain god. And the next day, I was like, I couldn't even get out of bed. I was drained. And, of course, you know, the plant manager is bitching, get your ass out of bed, get to work. And I'm like, no. But I thought I was starting to feel better all week. And then, like I said, Sunday, it just had a resurgence and just punched me in the gut all over again. And it's not just, I mean, the fact that it is leaving the body in out of ways I don't want, you know, anyways, not to get too graphic, but the worst part about it is the freaking egg burps, the rotten egg burps. And there to me is nothing. Have you ever had, it's the worst. That is the absolute worst. And I've been living on any kind of Tums or anything to try and get that to go away. I'm afraid to eat anything because when I do eat anything, then it's just, you know, it wants to come back up. So I'm just having to just take little, like, broth and something like that. I'm just like, don't give me any real food. Just give me some broth, something that I can sip, and like Jello or something like that. Just something mild, because it is just, it's brutal. But, and just the knives through the gut. But I was like, I don't know. I actually did message my doctor, because I had somebody say, hey, you know, wow, did you go to the doctor? And I'm like, no, I mean, it's like, I got sick. I started feeling better, but it's that it just double tapped me. And so I messaged my doctor, and I was like, hey, you know, here's my symptoms. Just wondering, is there a virus or is there any kind of bug that's going around? And she's like, yeah, I hate to tell you, but yes, it's just a bug. And get lots of fluid, lots of rest, and take Pepcid over the counter.
So, okay. That's okay. So, thank God it's not worse than that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's been a rough kind of week. Like, I haven't said anything to anybody, but I tell you like everything. Like this, I swear to God, this feels like my confessional at times, right?
So tell me your sins, my child.
Oh yeah, I know, right? I wish it was sins. My God. So I went in last week for a doctor's appointment that I had scheduled for months to go in with the dermatologist and get a full head to toe. Oh, and when I say head to toe, man, they're like stand up, spread your butt cheeks type head to toe, looking for any kind of abnormalities, moles that have gone astray, any of that stuff. And they hold almost like, it's like a, yeah. And they use this thing that's almost like you see a jeweler use to look at jewels, only they use it against your skin. If they see something, they're against your skin, right?
Okay.
And at one point, like literally, they had to check everything. And it was kind of weird because Romeo came with me. So he's sitting in a chair in front of me and I'm laying on my back and my knees up, and they're looking through the folds and all that stuff of my hoo-ha. Yeah. And he's got a bird's eye view, like just straight down the pipe look, you know? And thankfully he's seen it all before, but it was definitely, you know, and at this point they were kind of asking, you know, like, I know that they thought I had no modesty whatsoever. I was like, I'll toss this. And like, look, you need to look to see if there, I don't want you, leave no stone unturned, like, no, leave no flap unflapped, you know, get in there, dig in, like more so, I need you to dig in deeper than those women at the Korean body scrubs, okay? I need you to move in there and don't go deeper than they do and get that little thing and check anything that's even remotely. So they did find something that they biopsied. So, yeah, so we are crossing our fingers and toes, praying that I get a letter and not a phone call this time.
Okay.
Because this one would not be like the last one. If this one comes back positive, it would be skin cancer. And so we're crossing our fingers and toes, hoping that it comes back benign. Just let me, I keep checking my mail. So I have it set up so that every day I get an alert of what mail is coming in for the day that the post office is delivering. So I'm checking every day going, okay, I'm hoping to see a letter from them. Hopefully I see a letter. Come on, letter. You know, I'm like, come on, letter. No phone call.
Do you think that, I mean, okay, well, first of all, you did your due diligence by getting the biopsy, getting checked out. This is something that, you know, we talk about cancer preventions, you know, get yourself checked out. I mean, 2 weeks ago, you know, and it doesn't even feel like 2 weeks ago, but, you know, got the colonoscopy, walking around with the gown with the back end untied, because I'm at a point now where it's just like, you're going to see my ass anyway. What's the point?
Yeah. You know, pretend I'm honest. Come on.
Yeah. So I was in the doctor's office and I was like, I need to use the bathroom. And it showed me where it was. And I was just walking around. I'm like, the guy was, they're like, okay, you could put the gown on. And then there's like, you could tie it in the back. And I'm just like, you know, like those, whenever like you're going out on a date with your husband and he zips you up from the back. I kind of felt like, doc, can you tie me down? Can you tie me? Like, I can't tie a bow backwards. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then if I wear it backwards and then tie the front, well, that's not how you wear it. And then like my thing is hanging out. So it's just, I mean, depending on, I guess. So I end up, I go to the bathroom and I have to like lift up the gown, like, pretty much like up to my chest. So and then I just untied the whole thing, and then I walked out like ass cheeks showing, and there was a nurse behind the desk, and she's like, oh, let me help you get to where you go. Oh, let me help you to the room that you're supposed to be in, because I was supposed to go through a set of double doors and then in one of the rooms, mind you, ass hanging out. And the nurse was like, do you want me to tie that for you? And I'm like, no, because they're going to have to untie it anyway. They're going to get in here. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to be up in here. You know, it's like, do I want to make, you know, I think my company's paying for this colonoscopy, or my insurance company's paying for this colonoscopy. For the most part, don't want them to do any more work than they have to. Let's just leave it open. And you know what? The funny thing is, I'm at a point in my life where I am not really, I am not shy when it comes to nudity. I don't think I've ever really been shy. Like, I go to the gym and I will lay down naked in the steam room or have a towel around me, only because, you know, who wants to see a fucking naked dude in a, you know, if I can help it. But there's times where I'll walk around naked in the gym, and I mean in the locker room, of course, the locker room, and it's just like I am very I won't say contempt, but I'm not shy about it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm just not shy. And then I'm just walking around the hospital hall like a crazy person, like, you know, what room do I go in to get my colonoscopy? You know, like, who does that? And you know, so
I think the dermatologist was like surprised because she was like, you know, do you want to check? I dropped my drawers and she's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, look, you're here. I'm here. We're checking everything. Because I know my family history and I'm not taking any chances. At this point, they'd already found one spot on my back that they were going to check. And they said that typically with women, if they're going to have spots that they have to biopsy for that, it's usually on their legs. So it was an unusual to be on the back. So that's not as common. It's usually common to get it for women on their legs. Men are on their back or their chest. And
do you know how long till you get your answer?
7 to 10 days. So we're looking at, hopefully we'll have some kind of response by the end of this week. Otherwise next week. And actually a little bit longer isn't going to hurt my feelings. The longer we go, that if it goes longer than that, it just increases my chance of getting a letter versus a phone call.
I'd rather get the phone call telling them, hey, it's benign, you're good.
They don't call to tell you it's benign. The only way they're going to call you is to tell you it's cancer. Only call's bad. Letter is good. They send the letter only to tell you that you're good. So I know, and that's just it though. I would have rather you just call me either way and tell me because, you know, but they're not going to tell everybody, you know, I mean, and like I said, like the last time they called to tell me it was cancer, that bitch was way too fucking happy. That she's like, oh, so Mrs. I just wanted to let you know that we got your results and it's cancer. And a bitch said, what? You know, that was way too happy. Like you need to be like, take it serious.
You should not be allowed to have coffee and tell people bad news about their health. That's just fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's just, I mean, like, maybe she was just like, well, maybe if I tell her to her in a cheery way, she'll feel less bad about it.
Well, like, and I get
news
it that
bad news, no matter right, what
and
the
I
tone
get
is.
It that it was, they're like, well, it's only basal cell carcinoma, which is, like I said, it's basically the stoner of cancers. But don't let that bitch give me news. You know, I was freaking out and stressing out about it for probably the first day or two, for the first few days. And it doesn't help that this last Sunday was the 16-year anniversary of my mom dying of cancer. Not really, you know. So March, April, May sucks for me. March is when my mom died. April is when my sister died. May was when my daughter died. That's a bad run of months for me. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck that. I'm going to be fine. The thing that bothers me the most is just how much Romeo is stressed out. I know that this is just really eating him up inside and he's trying to be positive, but I can tell when he's snipping and snarling and stuff that that's not him. He's highly stressed. And I told him straight up, look, dude, I'm going to outlive you. I've already decided I'm going to outlive you because I can do that. And he's like, fuck that. We're going together. I'm like, hey, I didn't agree to that. I did not agree to that. But the thing is though, is just that I honestly, you know, deep down in my gut, I honestly feel that I'm going to get a letter and that it's not, and that it was something that could have possibly, but we caught it and see you. Bye-bye. So they got the million dollar out. Yeah. So I feel very positive. I feel very positive that it's just, you know, it was a freckle gone a little bit south on me. But I think we caught it in time. Yeah.
So,
but it is something. Right. And so, and I actually, I felt the importance in this so much so that I actually made an appointment for Romeo so that I can have him do a head to toe skin, a scan. Because you never know, just because he's black doesn't mean that he can't get skin cancer. You know, it depends on the environmental factors, right? And I want to make sure that I check him out from head to toe. But here's the thing is when you do a skin scan like that, when you do a full body scan, they do it and then you get scheduled 6 months later to do an additional scan, just a follow-up scan. And then after that, once a year. And especially for me with my history, I will go in once a year to get a scan just to make sure that nothing, you know, we've got everything diagnosed, you know, like diagrammed and everything. If things start going a little bit sideways, if they start growing or anything starts getting a little bit weird looking, they can come, you know, attack it, get it out of there, deal with it right from the beginning, from jump, before it becomes something too serious. So it'll be just something that I'll put on my calendar for my second gift to myself. My gift of health is that I go in and get an annual physical every year. This time I'm going to go in and get a scan every year.
That's good. That again, early screenings. I know they do months like, you know, oh, it's this awareness, cancer, blah, blah, blah month. It's very important. And again, it's funny because I took a picture of me on Facebook doing, you know, that whole after colonoscopy thing. And of course, my mom liked it because she's the one that's always on my case about when's the last time you got your, you know, your colonoscopy. So now I could just, now you know, it's been March 11th of this year. Leave me alone for, you know.
2029.
Oh, God. But yeah, and you know, it's funny. I am also getting, not getting physicals. I'm getting a physical next week. Well, yeah, next month, actually. You know, it's like, I haven't had a physical in a long time. I'm like, maybe I should. I'm joining another gym because I didn't feel like I was getting much from the gym that I was at. So I've planned on doing, you know, going to gyms. I am drinking less, which is scary for me. No, I'm kidding. It's good for me. I find myself drinking less. I right now I'd be having a beer. Right now I'm drinking water. I have water and club soda here. And so I'm just really trying not to, you know, at my age, you know, I stand at work mostly now because when I sit down, I'm late. I slouch. I'm just like, yeah, I'm just sitting there with my hunched over. But I stand maybe like 3 hours out of the day. I'll just be on the phones. My desk elevates, so I'm just like on the phones. And, you know, I have my music playing, so I'm kind of sometimes dancing, which is also scary. Nobody wants to see that. But it's, definitely self-checks, you know, making sure that your health is good because.
Absolutely.
As a comedian, I want to do this for a long time. I want to be able to go on the road. I want to be able to drive. You know, I want to be able to stand on the stage without help. You know, I want to be able to, you know, make sure my brain is good. So I'm not like, so I could, you know, speak well, like how I'm doing now and not sound like, you know, a person that's like 90 years old, who's just like nobody wants to hear that. So I want to make sure that I'm health wise, I'm stage ready and being able to, whenever I travel, you know, just like move around and be, you know, just
be good. You know, it's never too late to start either, because, you know, one of the things I was reading about this 65-year-old lady who decided to join a gym, and she started out with just walking. of course, they always say, you know, any doctor, no matter what, they always say walking. Walking and swimming are the two best exercises. Walking, almost anybody can do. And if you can't walk, most of the time you can swim, right? Because those are low impact and they have huge positive impacts on your body. And so this woman, she started out with walking, and after like about 2 years, something, she dropped over 50 pounds. She cut out all the extra medications from her life, the diabetes medicine, the high blood pressure, all that stuff in her late 60s. You know, it's never too late to start. You know, it's never too late to start saying, you know, and it takes just that first bit of momentum. The first thing you can do, if you really say that you love yourself, the best thing you can do is prove it by getting a physical. Get a physical every year. Remember when we were kids, our parents loved us enough to get us physicals every year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we had to have them for sports. We had to do them for everything. And then, you know, they tested our hearing. They tested our eyesight. We tested everything. And then somehow in our 20s, we became convinced that we were invincible. Our 30s, we're like, yeah, we're still pretty invincible. In our 40s, we're like, whoa, hold on. I'm not so invincible. And then in your 50s, your check engine light comes on, right? You see, everybody's seen the meme. Your 50s, your check engine light comes on. And you got to check some fluids. You might be dripping some fluids. You might be like, you know. But that's where it's still so important. You know, you do start making those positive life changes. You know, you make those decisions in your life where you go, you know what? I'm done drinking because it's not something like when I drink too much. So I like to overindulge in things. So you know what? It's all or nothing. Well, I guess it's nothing. That's fine. You know, you start cutting things out. Smoking. Okay, that needs to go. You know, all of these things, you start realizing that you want to make these positive impacts because you do realize that you're not invincible. You're not going to live forever. And in order to be able to have a good quality of life, you want to be able to keep moving now so that when you do get older, you can continue to move. You still have that movement, that momentum. And, you know, the best thing in the world for you is to walk. Just walk. Even if it's only 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, walk. Do something, you know.
I do a lot of walking. Like even
New York.
I could right now. And it's funny, I was comparing steps with one of my coworkers because he went to Argentina and he went hiking and he showed me his steps. And I'm just like, oh, that's cool. So I showed him my walk history for this month. And I have walked so far, my total steps is 144,409 steps this month alone, averaging 5,776 a day. Miles wise, I don't know how much that comes up to miles wise, but oh, distance, here we go. That is 66 miles.
So far this month, you've walked 66 miles.
I've walked 66 miles this month.
I believe it.
And I told, it's funny because I was telling my doctor before, like, hey, the fact that I am 150 pounds, is that abnormal? You know, like I'm worried about that because I feel like I'm losing weight. Because when I was living in Seattle, I was like 180 some odd pounds. I looked at old pictures of me where I was just fat in the face, had a gut. A bit of a gut. And he was just like, let me see your steps. And he was like looking through my steps. He's like, oh my goodness. He's like, this, you're in a city where you're walking a lot. Like whenever I go, it's 650 steps from my house to the train. And I walk 10 minutes from the train. It's like from the train to my job, it's about a mile. It's about a mile walk. I do that every day. And whenever I actually do what I call my old man stroll, I go downstairs into the warehouse and I'll walk like laps. I'll probably do like 2 to 3 laps just walking around, like answering messages or whatever on my phone or whatever, writing jokes. And I'm just like walking around and I go up. So we have an elevator. I don't even take the elevator. I just take the stairs. And then during lunch, I'll order food and I'll eat before I actually do lunch. And then when it's lunchtime, I'll walk around like the neighborhood. I'll do some walking. That's all I really do is walk. So my doctor was I got me a primary care doctor because you kind of need one at my age. And he's just like, nope, you're healthy, you know, but we're going to do some biopsies, you know, to make sure that, you know, there's nothing underlining that we're missing. So, but he's like, no, you're walking, it looks like you're eating well. So yeah, I mean, it's good, but you know, a comic's life, as far as health goes, some of it is not so great, you know?
And a lot of bad choices. And it's not necessarily bad choices deliberately it's like those choices of convenience. Like you choose to eat fast food. Well, you don't have, I mean, what else do you do when you're on the road? Do you choose to eat fast food or you don't eat because you don't have a way of preparing food, or you eat cold food? I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, you have to, you know, you get so in the habit of eating, you know, fast foods and stuff, which is just god awful disgusting. It really is. Fast food is so horrible, especially like McDonald's. Got to be the worst. I read an article. It was a meme. Okay. It wasn't an article. Let's be honest. It was a meme.
Article, meme, same thing.
Right, right. And it was talking about how Switzerland doesn't have, or Switzerland, Newfoundland. Newfoundland. Anyway.
Oh, wait. You said Finland or Newfoundland?
Yes. I think it was Finland. It was Finland.
Okay.
No longer have a McDonald's. They booted them out of their country. So like the only country that doesn't have a McDonald's, and they put on display the last meal that was sold in, what did they say? It was like 2006. It was a hamburger and fries, and they have not degraded at all in all those years. They still look like, because of all the chemicals McDonald's uses in their food.
But aren't I hear McDonald's, American McDonald's, I should say, is different from like a McDonald's overseas.
Yes.
So yeah. I mean, unless McDonald's is like, you know, airdropping beef right. From America, you know, I just find it, I mean, because I'm pretty sure the way that they manage the livestock in the other countries is very different from the way we do it here. You know, we're not pumping.
But I think it's more than that too. These other countries don't allow all the chemicals in their food that American allows, FDA allows in our food.
Yeah.
Like,
McDonald's like,
in Italy is nothing the same.
I would say like maybe a McDonald's and like assuming like Amsterdam. I'm pretty sure a McDonald's in Amsterdam is going to be different from a McDonald's in America. Think other countries, their foods, they try to keep it as natural as possible for the most part. I think here it's cheaper to just, you know, cheaply make something. Put some sugar in it. Don't you know, make everything artificial, this, that, whatever, and just be like, here you go, you know. And it's funny, like if you really think about it, like I know a person who diet Dr. Pepper fan. You go look at her in her vehicle, it is boxes of diet Dr. Peppers. And you know, when she comes in to work and whatnot, she'll just be carrying like four things of Dr. Peppers, put them in the refrigerator. And it's like, if, you know, Dr. Peppers here, it's like you get a can of Dr. Pepper here for like $1.50 or something. But at the same time, it's like, it's so cheaply made, you could probably get it for like, what, 75 cents a can or something. You know what I'm saying? And they just upsell something that is cheaply made. You know what I'm saying? You go to a bodega, and it's like, oh, you get the 20 ounces for like $2 or $2.25, depending on, you know, what part of the neighborhood you're at. And it's like, for something so shitty and so unhealthy, it's, yeah, you know, $2.25 that probably cost them maybe 70 cents. I don't know. Like, oh, to make
it, like, it cost 70 cents. It probably made them cost them like 10 cents because you got to think about the bulk that they're doing it. You know, and the reality is that they do put things in there that make you addicted to that product. I was a die hard Diet Coke fanatic. Oh, God, yes. I was Diet Coke fanatic before I even drank alcohol. I was drinking about a 6-pack a day. Then when I was drinking alcohol, it went up to probably about 9 to 10 Diet Cokes a day, cans of Diet Coke a day. A day. I can count on one hand the amount of Diet Cokes that I've had since the two years since I quit drinking. I can count on one hand the amount of Diet Cokes. I don't drink it.
I've been, today I had a Diet Dr. Pepper. I was like, you know what? Let me just grab one. And I drank it and I was like, oh, it still tastes like shit. So I'm like, right? Okay, because I've been drinking like club sodas. I've been drinking like other drinks that are sugar free and like no chemicals or what have you. You know, I drink like a lot of kombucha and probiotics and club sodas mainly. Like, you look at my refrigerator now, it's like, it's, you know, it's like Poland Springs. And then it's a bigger Poland Springs, like a big jug of Poland Springs. So my niece comes over, you know, she wants soda and sugar. I'm just like, no, you're not staying up till 11. You are going to drink this. You're going to drink this. I don't want one. You're going to drink this water like an adult, and you're going to pee before you go to bed. Cause I got to cut her off. Like, you know, a drunk at the bar, like an Irishman at the bar. I got to be like, look, your liquids, you're cut off at 7 o'clock. Okay. You're not about to wet the bed today. I'm not about to, you know, change mattresses and sheets and shit like that because, you know, your urinary clock isn't, you know, turned on because you're 9. Like, no, we're not doing that. So it's like, when you come over my house, I mean, and on top of that, I keep light. Oh God, this is how old I am now. I drink light beers now, mainly at Coors Light. Bud Light, you know, if I want to be fancy, Bud Light Platinum or Bud Platinum or whatever, I drink light beers now. And it was funny, me and Jonathan was talking, he was like, you know what? I could drink light beers. I don't really need to, like, I mean, I may occasionally have like the one beer that's like if I'm in Seattle, I'll have like the Rainier, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll have a Rainier or a Manny's or whatever. But for the most part, it's like, I gotta drink light beer. I gotta watch what I'm drinking. And I'm fine with that. You know what I'm saying? I was drinking a light beer at a party and my friend of mine was like, you know, we have other things here. I was like, yeah, but I'm a diabetic and I gotta watch, you know, light beers. This is my speed right here. You know, we have Coronas and all that. Like, I'll go to a party and I'll bring, the last party that I went to, well, a St. Patrick's Day party, I brought Bud Light. No, I bought Coors Light because I remembered one of the people that was there was also a diabetic, and that's all he drinks too. So I'm like, if anything, I'll share with this dude. And yeah, it was just, yeah, you know, I do miss, you know, some, on occasion, I'll just be like, you know, I have a Heineken or whatever. But at this point, I don't want... I don't want to overdo it like how I did the last time. Like I was thinking, even like yesterday, I was like, man, I used to drink a lot. I still walk past the liquor store and I'll just be like, yeah, I'm not going to go in there today. And then I walk past the other store where I get my beer and my sodas, where I make my Jack and Cokes and all that. I'm like, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that today. And I'm just like, I'm feeling really good. I'm like, I'm about to do a podcast. I got a, you know, I before we did this, I was watching a movie and like writing jokes, and I felt like, finally, my head is clear. There's no cobwebs. I do smoke a cigar like on occasion. Like I have this one cigar that I've had for a long time, actually many cigars, and I was walking around the neighborhood where I worked at, and I lit the cigar, and a guy comes up to me. He's like, "Hey, do you actually inhale that, or are you just like, you don't inhale?" And I'm like, "Well, I inhale, but you know, I'm happy. That's why I'm smoking the cigar. I don't smoke, but I just, you know, have the cigar because I have six of these, and it'll probably be another 6 months before I touch another cigar, just because, you know, I don't smoke, but it takes forever for me to smoke one. Like, since I lit it Thursday, it's Tuesday now, and I still have a lot of it to smoke, but I'm not trying to, like, it's not a race."
Yeah. You know, one of the things, it's interesting that you say that, like, the different things that you drink and being diabetic, but this is something that really, I'm so frustrated. I do not understand restaurants. I'll go in, even Starbucks. Let's say, like, Starbucks. You go to a Starbucks and you ask them, "Do you have any sugar-free options?" And they're like, "Vanilla. That's it." And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? You have all these, nope, sugar-free vanilla. That's it." Go to a restaurant. "Do you have anything sugar-free besides soda, like Diet Coke, or maybe if you're lucky, they might have a Diet Dr. Pepper. Nope, that's all we have." Like, they don't have diet. I went to a restaurant on Sunday, the one that I got sick in, and this is probably why they didn't have any diet for me. I saw that they had Italian sodas on the menu, and I was like, "Oh my God, I haven't had an Italian soda in forever, and that actually sounds really good." And I was like, "Do you have any sugar-free flavors?" "No." There's a gazillion sugar-free options for the syrups, right? There's all these, like, there's so many different people who are diabetic, or they're watching, you know, they don't want all that sugar, and yet there's never an option. They don't have any other options.
You got to be careful, though, when you see something that says sugar free, because just because it's sugar free, it could be saccharin, it could be neurotoxins that's in the that's there. So, and I know people, they hate stevia, but I'm just like, you know what? I put Splenda in my coffee, and even Splenda is not super good. But you know, sometimes people are just like, "Oh yeah, I don't like the taste of stevia." But I'm like, look at the ingredients of the diet sodas that don't have sugar. There's a word, there's two words behind there that begins, and I can't even pronounce it, like phenylalanine or whatever. If you Google it, what it is it's a neurotoxin. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, and too much of it can affect here. So that's why, that was one of the main reasons I kind of cut back grossly on diet sodas, because it's really not healthy. And I kind of feel like it's a fallacy that they put the word diet in front of it.
So here's some of the things that they do. They put a bunch of salt, sodium in there. If it's diet, they jack up the sodium to offset the taste.
Right.
The other thing they do is that if you look at, like, sugar-free, the quote unquote sugar-free candy in the grocery aisle, I looked at it and I'm like, this is some bullshit. If you take a look, it has more carbs than its sugar counterpart. Well, as we all know, if you're diabetic, you know that carbs is what turns into sugar in your body, and you got to count carbs, not sugars.
Right.
You want to count your overall sugar, your overall carbs tell you how much sugar, that includes all the sugar that's in there. So it says sugar-free, but what it really is saying is that they didn't add additional sugar. It has so much carbs in it that you're better off eating the non-sugar-free kind, you know? And so people think, they just grab packaging and they think that, oh, you know, it's sugar-free, therefore it's good for me. No, it's not. It's okay for me because, look, it's sugar-free. No, it's not. It has 35 grams of carbs. That is not good for you. That is very bad for you, especially if you're diabetic. And then you look at the product that it's supposedly replacing that has the quote unquote sugar, and that one only has, like, say, 30 grams of sugar, 30 grams of carbs. And you're like, Wait a minute. Hold on. So looking at those packaging and those labels is so important. And that's something, but even, you know, like I said, even with the fluids, like there's, I don't drink anything but water most of the time. But occasionally, I would like to drink something that had some different kind of flavors to it. I don't like Crystal Light. I don't know why it has like a, I don't feel right after I drink it. I don't know. I don't feel good when I drink it. It makes me feel weird. It makes me feel off. Like it's not good for me. I don't know if that makes sense, but I can, I always feel like a little bit like, I don't know, not sick necessarily, but I don't feel good. So I avoid Crystal Light or any of those brands in any of those, yeah, those sugar-free type stuff. I'm like, no, there's something not right with this. And so I do, I'll drink coffee in the morning, but other than that, like the only thing I ever really seem to drink is my water. I mean, I love like a good tea. Don't get me wrong. Give me a good tea, but I like to have it sweetened, but it's that sugar-free alternative.
I would do tea, but I would usually, I mean, if I don't have Splenda or like a sweetener, I would just probably use like a half, like a half a bag, not a, of sugar. And then I wouldn't use all of it. And besides, it dissolves anyway, and it gives you like a nice little, like I'm finding teas actually. I find this at 7-Eleven. It's you know, those iced teas, and it has like subtle amounts of sugar, and they're like 5 calories, 5 grams of sugar, like very little carbs. So I'll drink that in the morning. And it's just like, and it's a good alternative because I like iced tea anyway. And when I go to the grocery store, I'll buy 2 jugs of unsweetened iced tea. And I can go through one in a day because I'm just like, you know, I could just go through one because I like iced tea a lot. So, and you know, it's, I make sure to at least keep water in the house. I get very bent out of shape when I come home and I forget, oh shit, I should have bought water. So now even if in doubt that I don't have water in the house, I buy water anyway. I buy a big jug of water and I'm like, oh, I have 3 in here anyway. Well, welcome home.
It's not gonna go away. It's like toilet paper. Toilet paper and water. You can never have too much. Clearly, the pandemic is that.
Yeah. You know, I'm surprised that, I mean, I went out and I bought like a ton of toilet paper in January, like a bunch. It is, I'm down to, I still have 1 roll left. I haven't even opened yet. And I'm like, wow, like we did this. You know what I'm saying? Like we went and it was January. We're in March now. I think we went through 8 rolls.
For how many butts?
I'm sorry?
How many butts?
Sometimes 3. Sometimes 3. When my niece is here, it's 3. And I hope she's using it. Hope to God.
She is.
You know.
She's so you gotta understand, girls, we use it more than guys. I mean, y'all do it just when you have to sit down. We use it when we sit down, and we sit down every single time.
I kind of think, yeah, I think she's using it properly. I mean, I'm just like, I could tell whenever she's here, whenever I'm not here, I'm like, wow, we had a full roll of toilet paper here, and now we're just down to half. How is this? You know, like, how are we doing this? Are you like wrapping your, are you trying to make, like, she has dolls. Are you wrapping them into mummies and just, you know, she likes horror paraphernalia. So I'm like, look,
you gotta put a couple of times and then, you know, it doesn't bust through, but you know, okay.
Leave a dollar on the, in the jar, in the toilet paper jar.
I know, right? Oh, what was I just thinking? So in the news, today has been, God, it's been not just with us personally, personal life, there's been a lot of crazy shit going on in the world. So you were telling me off air, and you need to explain to me what the hell is going on with Puff.
Okay. And Puff. Did he do it? Did he not do it? And I want to say this. You know, we got to be very careful when people talk. We should listen sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And this is one of the one time we should actually listen. So Diddy's home was raided, both of his homes in Miami and in Los Angeles. He got raided because he's under federal investigation of sex trafficking, sexual misconduct, and they found guns in one of his homes. So he's been under investigation for a very long time. And finally, the feds was like, all right, let's go in there and see what we can find. So they raided both of his homes. He is being investigated in relations of sexual allegations, sexual assault, and solicitation and distribution of illegal narcotics and firearms, and also sex trafficking. So, now I don't think he was on the list that we did in February when, you know, the Epstein list. I don't think I saw his name on it. I doubt it. But boy, he is it has not been a pretty good year so far for him. His attorney said that it was a gross overuse of military level force, and you know how our attorneys are with their high profile. I mean, Diddy is probably, you know, paying for his kids' colleges and whatnot. They said that they're going to continue to fight these allegations, and Diddy, of course, is denying all these. But there's people coming out saying that he has flown in underage women to his place and have thrown these parties. Even earlier this year, you know, as far as last November, he was the subject of numerous lawsuits from his former romantic partner, Cassie, who accused him of sexual abuse and physical abuse for years. So, and he denies that. So, you know, it's these people, and again, we see this all the time. We saw this with Harvey Weinstein, the abuse of power. We've seen this with Bill Cosby, the abuse of power. It's now, again, I don't know. I can't speak on, you know, but it's just like they don't, and even 50 Cent said this, they don't raid your home like that unless they have a case against you. Like,
right, they don't. Right, exactly. And here's, I already know that there's going to be people that are going to say that this world's all trumped up charges. They're just going after him because he is a black man in making money who has, he's affluent. And I have to say, I agree with what you're saying. You know, they don't do a federal raid unless they have a lot of information that would prove, like, they have to have a lot of really good documentation before they can go in there and do something like that. And so, more importantly, like what you said, when somebody is talking, start listening, because his ex is the one that was saying, you know.
Yeah, but also it's not just his ex, it's former employees who's worked for him. I read somewhere that September of 2022 to September, I believe it was November of 2023, one of his former employees had filed a lawsuit claiming that in February, alleging that that Combs sexually harassed, drugged, and threatened him for more than a year. In another lawsuit, and in the suit, a producer also alleged that he had video and audio evidence of Combs and his staff members and others engaging in serious illegal activity. People are going to be coming out of the woodwork saying all kinds of stuff. Because again, it's one of those things. Remember when, again, it goes back to the Cosby thing, when a few women came out, and then more women started coming out. Harvey Weinstein. Wow. Oh, a couple of women came out, and oh, well, Harvey Weinstein, he's a big movie mogul. He'll never do that. And then more people came out. It's, you know,
all of them.
Yeah. And the thing is, I kind of get it. You know, when you're rich and you're powerful, and sometimes you want to be very careful because people who are that close to you, some people could just make up stuff just for a quick payday. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But in this case, when you have, when multiple people come out, because of course the fear at first, it's like, oh, this is out now. Okay, now I could tell my story. But it's just like, if you're gonna do that, I always say, hey, be sure, you got to be sure. Whenever somebody tells me that they were abused, or I'm like, are you sure? I'm not saying that you're lying, but I need to know that you're sure. So when we talk to authorities, you know, we have proof, we have evidence. You don't want to go into a war and not have the right weapons to be able to defend yourself. You know what I'm saying? So if you're 109 times out of 10, of course, I'm going to be like, all right, I'm on your side. Let's take the necessary steps. But when multiple people are coming out and saying these things, it's like, okay, let's listen. Maybe there's truth to what this person is saying, and not just completely dismiss them, like how we're so quick to do. Exactly. Because again, these billionaires they're not perfect. You know what I'm saying? They're at a point now in their life where it's just like, okay, I got all this money, I'm untouchable, I can do whatever I want. You know what I'm saying? I have the power, you know? So it's something to kind of like be more mindful of. You know, when Cassie came out and said, you know, all those alleged things that she said, I'm like, you know what? Who would better know that than her? Of all the things that she went through. So I don't know. It's going to be an interesting few months to see how they actually how Diddy and his camp fight this, because, you know, he's got kids that are, you know, being investigated also. I mean, like his whole, you know, it's going to be it's may not look pretty.
Right. I don't know. You know, maybe there's a reason.
I mean, there's always a reason, but there's no excuse. There's no excuse to be an alleged dick, you know? So gosh, I remember when he was involved in a shooting, and a rapper took the fall for the gun. And I'm just like, there's no way that, you know, and then, yeah, it's a lot. It was when he was dating Jennifer Lopez at the time. So I don't know. I think right now it's a lot of there's a lot of skeletons coming out the closet in Diddy's camp. So, you know, a lot of his past is going to catch up with him. So it's pretty messed up, but it looks like the walls around him might be crumbling. And on top of that, you know, some of these people his camp is so big, some of these people are probably going to snitch so they don't have to do jail time. So a lot of stuff is probably going to come out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, this is where you find out, like, each abandoned ship, each man for themselves. Yeah. You know, if you know something, say something. And I wonder, you know, how much of it is people that actually wanted to say something, but they don't because they're afraid to say something, you know?
And of course, it's like, not for nothing, oh, well, I'm Diddy, I could bury you. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I got enough money where if we go to trial, you know, I have enough money where I could, you know, take this to, you know, stretch this out while you go broke. I'm still going to be me. I'm still going to make money, whatever. It's, you know, it's always, you know, the powerful, the very, you know, it's just, we don't, I mean, not for nothing. We don't want to think that these are true, but you can't ignore the allegations, the many allegations that come out. I mean, Bad Boy, I think he named that record label for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Like Bad Boy, you know, there's a reason for that. So, so it's just that is very, very sad that it has come to this, you know, it's when
weird that there was even dudes that he was, you know, that are claiming
there was thoughts of that. And they're just like, Puffy ain't gay. Well, again, you think you know somebody, you know, so you think you know somebody.
Something like that. Look, if here's something that has really held back the sexual assault prosecutions for a lot of years. People mistakenly think that sexual assault is in regards to sex, and it's not. It's never about sex. It's about the assault part of it. It's the domineering. It's about the control part of it. Taking what you can't have or being that untouchable. You can have whatever you want. How dare somebody tell you no? And the sex part of it is just a symptom. They get those erections. They get turned on by somebody fighting or telling them no, or, you know, them not being able to get what they want, and they prove them wrong, you know? And so that's the part where it gets them aroused. That's how they get that arousal. So it is absolutely about power. And that power struggle and being able to lord that over somebody way more than it is about sex. And so yeah. I remember a long time ago when I was a kid growing up in Spokane, and we had a serial rapist that they called him the South Hill Rapist in South Hill in Spokane. He was a serial rapist that he was going through raping women. And it was very scary because my mom was riding the city metro at the time to go she was going to schooling. And she was we lived on the South Hill and it was along that line. And a female reporter interviewed the police sheriff. And she said, you know, the question he asked was, what do you recommend? What should women do about this? And he goes, off the record? And she was like, yeah, off the record. He goes, lay back and enjoy it. That was the sheriff. Because that's a mentality that this was like late 70s, early 80s. I think it was like early 80s. And even to this day, people still haven't got, you know, like they said, if more men were raped, our rape laws would be a lot stricter, you know, because it is pretty much a crime against women and children, the vulnerable population, the people that don't have as much of a say. And so when you start hearing about some, and men, if they are raped, they never would talk about it because of the stigma is that, you know, what did you do? Because especially when you stop and think about like trials for rape with women where the victim becomes second victimized again when they're like the prosecutor, you know, the defendant is like, well, what were you wearing? You know, what was your interaction? What was your sex life before? You know, like they drag up everything about it and like, whoa, 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 whoa. That has nothing to do with it. So you re-victimize this person who, you know, it doesn't matter what she was wearing. You know, but stop and think about now. Stop and think about it. If that was a man going through that, well, what were you wearing? What did you say to him? What did you lead him on? Did you lead him on? Did you do something to get his attention to make him think that you wanted it?
Like and you were asking for it, type shit.
Yeah, you were asking for it. Like basically, you were asking for it. Now stop and think about it. Like a man's not going to go through that because then that makes him, you know, like so many men are homophobe anyways. Well, then all of a sudden they're getting accused of doing something or saying something that caused them to get raped. Yeah, that's not happening. So yeah. It's a scary thing, you know.
Oh yeah. Anyway. It sucks. It kind of makes me feel sick to my stomach, you know, because I have friends that have fell into that. And, you know, it's just really, and I feel for them, you know, it's just like, I don't want my friends to have to deal with that. But, you know, when they hear about things like this, like from celebrities, it not only does it trigger them, but they're just like, oh, you know, well, this guy has enough money. He could probably, you know, buy his way out of this and all that. And it's just like, you know, it's a horrible thing because it's one of those things where it's like it sticks with you for the rest of your life. It's trauma, you know.
Yeah.
And it affects, you know, the way, especially like with women, you know, it affects the way that they raise kids. It affects their relationship, or they're afraid to get into a relationship. They don't trust men anymore. So
yep.
It's one of those things where it takes a lot. It takes your dignity. It takes your belief, your faith in humanity, your faith in the opposite sex. It strips you down to the bare minimum where all you do is just wake up and you do your daily routine and hoping that you get home safe. And then you just do your nightly routine and you're, you know, so it's awful. So, you know, I kind of feel like if somebody comes to you and says, hey, I'm having an issue with my boyfriend or your significant other, you know, I say talk to somebody. Even if you feel that no one's going to believe you, talk to somebody. Because yeah. Chances are, it may not be, I mean, if you feel the need that you have to talk to somebody about your relationship, then you know that relationship is not good and you need to get out. You just need someone to tell you. You just need someone to confirm, oh, this is what's going on? Oh, fuck that. You can't see this guy anymore. You know what I mean? Like, this is it, you know? So ladies, if you're listening, talk to someone.
Right. And remember, you know, nowadays too, what's really cool about social media is that they put out there too, that if you're ever in a bar and as a woman, you feel like somebody is harassing you or something, you could go find any older woman in the bar and say, hey, auntie, you know, and just wanted to know, what time are we doing breakfast this weekend? And anything, just go up to an older woman and she will instantly, she's not going to look at you and go, who the fuck are you? You know?
Yeah.
She's going to know.
Yeah.
They're going to pick up. We're in a bar. This is a younger woman. And maybe there's somebody who's creeping her out, and they're going to, like, women will automatically become mama bears, right? I don't care if I know you or not. Some young woman comes up to me and starts talking to me about, hey, auntie, I just wanted to find out, what time are we doing breakfast? I'm going to know this woman's in trouble, and I'm going to start looking who I got to go fuck up. You know, and I would not leave her side, right? And, you know, and then I would try and get the answer, like, what's going on? Who's bothering you? Who's scaring you? But it doesn't matter. As a woman in a bar, you're never alone, really. If there's another woman in that bar, you're never alone. You have somebody else that's got your back. But it's not always in a bar, you know, unfortunately. And the more I find, the more I realize that people are horrible human beings, you know, as a whole. There's some good people out there.
There's a handful of decent human folk out there. But, you know, for the most part, society, they do have their assholes that linger and lurk and just, you know, like to cause trouble for the sake of causing trouble. And you just gotta be aware, you know, especially when you're out and about. I'm always aware of my surroundings. That's why I don't get drunk in public anymore.
No, you can't.
I'm not in New York. Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm not doing that anymore. You know, I'll go to a bar and I'll drink, but like for St. Patrick's Day, I drank, you know, a lot of light beers, Guinness, you know, and people just handed me Guinnesses. And but I knew that it got to a point where I was just like, okay, I'm gonna drink this and that's it. I'm done. And you know, it takes a lot of self-discipline to do that because again, it's St. Patrick's Day. I, you know, if I'm drunk and I bump into the wrong person, you know, I will say this. People here have knives and guns. Believe it or not, we are a concealed weapon, no permit carrying sons of bitches. Okay, like I'm not joking. People, you know, and I tell people, like, look, you got to be careful who you step to. You know what I'm saying? You walk by a bunch of guys at a stoop hanging out. I guarantee you, one of those guys is packing heat. One of them is packing. You know what I'm saying? And mind you, it's not because they're looking for trouble. They're just like, if trouble finds them, they want to make sure they take care of trouble. It's either you or me. I'd rather it be you. You know what I'm saying? It's that kind of mentality. But, you know, like just the other day, we had like New York, we have shootings all the time now, you know. But it's just like, you know, I'm like, all right, this is, you know, yay, keep our rent and property value down so we can afford this motherfucker.
Right.
You know, I don't get mad. Oh, somebody got shot down the block. All right. You know, and I know I'm terrible for saying this, but like Brooklyn's getting gentrified. My neighborhood is sort of kind of, it's getting there. But every time I hear that somebody got shot down the block from where I live, I'm just like, all right, keep our property and our rent down. You know, this city's a little too expensive. You know what I'm saying? Stop trying to change our neighborhood. But yeah, everybody here has a weapon of some sort, and you just got to be very careful on who you approach. So you're not, you know, because not everyone's going to throw a punch at you. You know, they're going to pull out that gun and they're going to shoot you and they're going to ask questions later. That's the reality of it. And it's not just here. It's probably every major city with, you know, gun issues. Somebody's packing one way or another. So that's my take on being out and about. And but yeah, for the most part, I don't get drunk in public. It's not a good look. It makes you look stupid. It makes you look bad. You know what I'm saying? What is it going to look like me stumbling out of a bar? You know, falling down, sleeping on in the gutter. Like, I don't want that with my life. So I just, I know my limit. I stick to my limit because when I go home, I just want to be able to relax and know that I'm home instead of just, you know, oh shit, waking up by the East River because I didn't know when to quit. I don't want to do that.
Absolutely. Like you have to, you know, I think a lot of it is as we start getting older, we start realizing our own mortality and we start realizing how long it takes us to recover from some things too. Like, man, you used to be able to like go play basketball and beat yourself up. And then, you know, the next day you might be a little bit sore, but you could just keep on, you know, just keep moving. Now it's like, you're not just a little bit sore. You can barely move. I mean, shit, you can barely get out of bed. You're like in so much pain. And it is something that, you take a little bit more caution, that recovery. You pay attention more to that recovery and you pay a little bit more attention so you slow down a bit more. Like, you know what? I was going to have another drink, but you know what? Nah, I'm good. I'm good because that one there is going to take me, instead of me being feeling a little bit out of it tomorrow, it's going to take me a week.
Yeah.
Sorry, to recover. So...
And yeah, and on top of that, the work week on top of that, it's like, you know.
Oh, God. For real.
So, what you've been binge watching lately?
You know, we've still been watching some Monk. And, we started kind of watching Resident Alien. It's on Netflix. And okay. we've watched a couple of episodes. My brother was telling me about it. And I don't know. It's basically about an alien whose ship crash landed in and he's living there in disguise. It is very, I don't know. I think it's got some funny parts to it, but I don't know how much if I'm gonna finish watching any of it. And then what else did we start watching? Probably we're binge watching another TV show. Kind of went back to Family Guy. American Dad, we haven't made it all the way through American Dad, but my God, you could tell where American Dad jumped the shark. Like, it was good, it was funny, and then it went off network to what, like one of those off network channels, and they started swearing in it, and like some of the, I mean, it is just out there, bizarre. And you're like, okay, this is no. Because, you know, one thing that I found is that watching 24 and then watching American Dad makes for really weird, bizarre dreams.
Really?
It really does. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because 24 is a really dark show. And then American Dad, when they started getting really out there, bizarre, you're like, okay, enough. This is too crazy. So I told him, I was like, yeah, let's, because I like to watch something. I try and watch something more lighthearted before I go to sleep. Like, I like, you know, Monk is great and it's funny, but, I'm watching like a lot of movies about murder and death. And, you know, I'm like, you know, this is probably not
the culture.
Not really what I want to. So I want to watch something lighthearted, and Family Guy, I mean, you can't go wrong with Family Guy, you know. No. So and I'm actually thinking, you know, I really wish that they would go back and make some more episodes, if they would revamp the Cleveland show. That was such a great show.
The Cleveland show. It was a thing that they tried, and I was surprised it even lasted that long.
I thought it was hilarious. It was very funny.
I'm very glad that he moved back to Quahog, and they're continuing that character. You know, they didn't kill him off. They're just like, hey, it didn't work. You're back. They even made fun of it on Family Guy. You know. Yeah. Have a show, you know, like, or you know, no, but I mean, the Cleveland show the Cleveland show is not terrible, but it's not, I didn't think the Cleveland show was as funny as Family Guy or as funny as American Dad. Like, American Dad to me is, and like I said, there's a point where once they switched over to TBS, it was almost like, okay, let's throw some shit on the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, so I get where you're coming from. I'm surprised American Dad lasted that long, but it's a funny show. I still laugh when I watch it. I haven't watched it in a long time, and I haven't even watched the later seasons myself. Shows that I've been watching now lately is I'm watching Homeland on Hulu. I'm still on the first season of it, but Homeland, I finished watching F is for Family in like one sitting, the first season, Bill Burr show on Netflix. And so, yeah, I mean, those have been like the two shows that I've been watching. I've been watching a little bit of Billions here and there. And I also got Netflix. I reinstated my Netflix account, and now it's just like, oh, Netflix has like all these shows now, and like Netflix got some pretty good stuff. There's a show that they have called Homicide, New York City, and I think it's like season one, but it's like the like the major homicide cases in New York City that they were investigating. So I'm that's like, oh, me and my dad could watch this because he's into stuff like that, and I'm into stuff like that. So that's going to be quite interesting. And I'm pretty sure, hey, Diddy will probably be on season two. Who knows? We call that a comeback, a callback. Okay, so I think we're going to wrap this up. This was actually a good episode. Ladies and gentlemen, I do want to say this, and I don't want to give anything away, but we have lots of special guests coming up in the upcoming weeks. It is going to be fun. As a matter of fact, when I emailed these people, they were like, hell yeah. And as a matter of fact, during our little thing, I just got another confirmation from somebody who was I don't want to say afraid to be on the show. She was like kind of self-conscious about being on the show because I guess she felt like she was like, I'm afraid I'm going to make, you know, I'm going to look like an idiot on the show. I'm like, no, we're not. We don't do that. So I sent her the episode of Courtney Collins and Jessica, which I thought was a really good one, you know, and women empowerment. And she just sent me the she just told me that she listened to it and she's totally in. So
that's very cool. I love that. I love when we get somebody who is kind of afraid to do it, and then, you know, because we have so much fun. We have a lot of fun when we do this, and we love talking to other people, just kind of getting, you know, I love finding out, like, man, what's your background? What motivates you? What got you to where you're at? And, you know, what makes you tick? So.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, and even I listened, you know, cause she was like, well, send me an episode and, you know, I'll make my decision, you know, based on that. And I'm like, oh, that's a good episode. You know, that was the perfect episode to send her. And I was like looking through like, oh, no, I don't want to send her that. I don't want to send her that. Here's one. This will work out fine. So, but yeah, like I spent all day today and all day yesterday just being like, okay, time to just, let's get it lined up. Let's rock and roll this. Let's make this happen. And, you know, it's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to June. here through June. I've been booking this bad boy out. Also, if you're in Portland, Maine, me and Jonathan Ziegel, rhymes with Eagle, we're going to be at the Hill Arts Center, March 29th and March 30th. So,
and
get your tickets, come see us. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, lobster dinners. That's why I'm driving. That's why we're driving up there. Lobster dinners and comedy. So that's going to be fun. And Marianne, do you have anything that you need to push?
No, I know that I have something coming up, but I'm kind of distracted right now. So.
Okay. So maybe next week you can promote it if it's still a thing.
Yeah. Let's talk about it next week.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that has been our recording. And be safe, be in good health. As Marianne says, make good choices. And as I always say, you know what? If you don't care about your health, well, that's fine. It's also not about you. So good night, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good one.